Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents.
Madam Speaker, Madam Vice President.
You want to hang out with us? And get your vaccine.
And so I went to Human Resources.
There's some things I just can't tell you on air.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
A woman's problem, if you will.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics.
Wow.
Hooray.
Lots going, lots to talk about today. Mostly, like, really good things.
Really good things.
New for this channel.
Yeah, it was a big news weekend. I actually listened to the NPR Up First, their Saturday edition, which
wow,
I don't usually listen on Saturday. I usually give myself Saturday to not listen to Up First, but I said so much is going on. I've got to listen to Up First on Saturday.
Simply must. Also, because Friday was just a day of. It wasn't a big news consumption day other than the two headlining stories of the day, which were Taylor's version of Red and Britney is Free.
Britney is Free.
Okay, I know we're going to get to it, but I think that while we say, oh, these aren't political, you know, these aren't political, I think the personal is political, as we were just saying. So we can talk about how these actually are political stories. You know,
hugely political stories.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. 100%.
Political.
Yeah.
So before we get into this headline this morning, breaking news, Beto O'Rourke has announced a run for governor of Texas.
Woo!
Big news. People saw Deja this coming,
vu.
But I know, yeah. I know, exactly.
I'm glad that Beto has finally gotten here. He took a detour. We'll see if it cost him, but I'm glad that he is getting here. I like Beto. I would really like to see him as the governor of Texas. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's. I also think it's like good that he's not running against Ted Cruz again, because like I couldn't watch him lose to Ted Cruz again.
No.
And I don't know if there's like anything that he could do the second time around to win that race. Mm-hmm. That he didn't do the first time when he was like super exciting as a candidate. I don't know. We'll see how the governor's race goes.
What did you think his detour was, at least running for president? That was
yeah, I think. And it's like, I don't even actually blame him. Like, people always are like, he was so dumb for doing that. And I like don't even
everybody was doing it.
First of all, everyone was doing it. Second of all, let's not forget that literally everyone was begging him to do it, like not a couple months before. So I think the Vanity Fair cover, I think, was not good. His like Vanity Fair launch, I think, was a stepping point. And it ultimately, like, it wasn't a campaign that did well. So I think, like, I would have loved to have seen him run for the other Texas Senate
seat.
Instead, and perhaps maybe be in the Senate at this time. Because wouldn't it be great if we had another Senate seat? And that's why Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah. He only lost to Ted Cruz by 3 points in 2018.
He came so close. Like, it always feels like, oh, once you lose, it's like done. But it's like, no, people in the past, like, have lost seats, won them back, like, lost elections, won the same election like 2 years later. It's like that happens in politics often, so it's not crazy. I think the biggest thing against him is that I just can't imagine a more animated base than the 2018 midterm base against Trump. And so it's like for him to not only like meet that level, but also get the two more points, like it's gonna be tough.
Well, okay, on some level, I feel like in hindsight are we like, oh, that was a dumb presidential run, because if you're him or you're in his team or whatever, you're thinking like, oh, Beto is Obama and we just have to like push him there.
And also, like, which everyone he, was yeah. tweeting, Beto is Obama. Like,
yeah.
Like, they're like, seeing a million tweets a day being like, he's right. Obama. Like, so.
It wasn't like a delusional, it wasn't a delusional campaign. Like, I will say that. Like, there are some people I'm like, oh, you shouldn't, why are you doing this? Like, I
well, he underperformed in that campaign. Person. Yeah. He didn't have great debate performances, remember? I think there was one where he did well, but there was just a couple. I mean, but then he had so many shining
I think he was
that,
the like first was- one to do the Spanish thing.
Yes.
Where the Democrat, where in the primary, every candidate like trotted out their Spanish. It's like, Beto actually does speak Spanish, but it's like,
fluently.
Let's.
But like, your last name is O'Rourke and there's 18 people on the stage. Like, come on.
Yeah. And Julian Castro is like actually legitimately standing next to you. And yeah. then like, I remember like Cory Booker started speaking Spanish and I was just like, this, I like, this is really not what we need yeah. to be happening.
I know. I was really worried Michael Bloomberg was going to start.
Beto O'Rourke, I almost he kind of reminds me of Kamala in the way mm-hmm. that like there's like a lot of enthusiasm and they have their moments where you're like, oh, they're amazing. And then sometimes it just like doesn't quite like get to that Obama level is like the only mm-hmm. way I can describe it is like that level where it's like
the vision doesn't always match the charisma with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it part of it is a lack of vision. No offense. Like, I think he's great, but he doesn't have that. And maybe it's part of its timing. But he doesn't have that like vision message to match his person, mm-hmm. who, you know, the can't like his persona as the candidate. And it's like they I feel the same way about Kamala, where it's like, oh, they're great. They get to like this level. But then there's like it almost just sort of like can't it like hits a ceiling and it falls apart. And like yeah. you're really disappointed because you really like them and you know that they have the potential to be that person. But something about it just falls apart either like within the team or with the candidate. I don't, you know, they,
yeah.
They're yeah, like the opposite of the clutch pitcher in baseball.
Yeah. There's this saying, and I might be getting it wrong, but it's like Republicans fall in line, but Democrats want to fall in love. And like, you really yeah. like, it's funny for us to always be like, are they Obama? When it's like, okay, Obama was kind of like a once, like he was like a uniquely special individual yeah. as far as, I'm not saying he was a perfect president. I'm saying he was a uniquely special individual to become America's first Black president. Like, and yeah. he had to be like a near perfect politician. Right. Like he, to stick but, that yeah. landing that he did and be not only the first Black president, but reelected again, you know, like all the whole shebang to not be run out with scandals. Like he had to be a uniquely deft politician in a way that like we might not see someone like that come through all the time.
Well, I also think it was just like a different time. We were coming off of like 8 years of Bush and the Iraq War and like things were clearly going poorly. And I think Obama at the time like represented the highest level of like celebrity excitement yeah. for the Democratic Party. And now the Democratic Party is not as united, I think, as it was at that point, because like it was sort of that post-Bush era unity, which made a lot of sense at the time. But also like just media was different. The whole landscape was different. There was not a Tea Party yet, which brought things to another level. But at the same time,
certainly.
We're still holding the Democratic candidates to the Obama level of
yeah,
like amazingness. And I think that is maybe our mistake. I mean, I did just start this whole thing by comparing to Obama. But
it's hard. That's the thing is that it's like you want to because that's our like metric for success now is like, are they Obama?
As inspiring as Obama. And it's like you have to wonder like, where is that person going to come from? Because you have, let's say you had someone that inspiring as a progressive, like how are you going to get that whole middle of the party like on that page? So it just feels like such structural asymmetries that fuck us over.
Well, I think, and when Beto runs, it really just depends. I mean, I think he'll have a similar playbook because before he ran against Ted Cruz and now he's going to run against Greg Abbott. And they're like similarly, they have the same sort of villain status that he is really good at being a foil to. Like already during the snowstorms, he was actually doing things,
yes.
trying to get people to safety, whereas the governor was not very visible. And Ted Cruz, who he's not going to run against, was obviously flying to Cancun. So like,
Beto's such a Gryffindor in that way.
Yeah, he is. But Trump won Texas by 6 points. And Republicans gained even more support among Hispanic Americans. So it's definitely an uphill battle. But I think like it's just as important to keep running these people to like expand the window of what people think is possible. So it's not just like so crazy every time. Like, oh, a Democratic governor of like now it's not that crazy to run a Democrat against Ted Cruz because Beto got so close. So it really opens the door. Like I think like Julian Castro is probably going to run against Ted Cruz.
That would be great.
That would be great. And also like. Make these, even if he's not successful, make these fuckers run a tough campaign. Yeah. Like, make them work for this shit and, like, get them on the record saying things, you know? And, like, make them explain their policies in public, you know? Like, this, Greg Abbott's going to have to debate Beto now. And he's going to have to answer for some of the stuff he's done and, like, explain to the state how he let them freeze to death. Like, not long ago, he froze them. Like, what is going on there? Why are there bounty hunters hunting women?
Abortion is literally banned in Texas right now.
Yeah, like,
it's completely banned.
It's also, you know, there's a value to, again, it's why we talk about primarying people sometimes. It's not always just to win. Sometimes it's to be like, okay, but also I'm going to now force you to go around and explain yourself to people. And you have to run a campaign now. And you're not just going to sit back on your laurels and just expect everybody to fall in line and vote for you and for you to soar back into reelection.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're experiencing a very intense, very accelerated, it feels like, golden age in like content and justice for a lot of these early 2000s, 2010s icons. Britney Spears, as of Friday, is free and in charge of her life nearly. I think it's effective immediately. Taylor Swift owns her most iconic album. Jessica Simpson owns her name. Adele is back and divorced and in charge of her life. Paris Hilton, on the contrary, is married. And Lindsay Lohan is staging another comeback. So there's a spectrum of like, there's a spectrum there. I mean, I don't know if Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton necessarily have as much goodwill as Britney Spears and Taylor Swift, but a lot is happening, and some of it came out of nowhere. Some of it we knew it was coming, but it's been emotional for me.
I really felt like this whole, like, I don't know, like there must have been something in the planet alignment or whatever.
I was going to ask you're the astrology
person. like something happened. It's amazing because, and Amanda, I said this to you this morning, so I will repeat my theory now, is that like, this weekend saw like the revenge of all the shitty ways that these very high profile women, like the high profile women of the early 2000s, were treated within like what they've all gotten back. This past weekend, you really see like all the sort of elements that make like a free woman that like feminists want to be available to us, to have be our choices. Like Britney literally got her freedom over her body back. You know, this whole thing with the IUD, she's going to be able to like take it out now. She got freedom to drive, freedom over her finances. Taylor got back like the financial benefits of her own work. Like, what else do we have?
Jessica Simpson. So Jessica Simpson, I didn't know about this yesterday, but she basically, I'll explain what happened there. Where are my notes on? Oh, yeah. So she announced on Friday, Jessica Simpson, same day this all went down, that she had successfully bought back So there was 60% of her brand, the Jessica Simpson collection, that she didn't own. So basically, I think when she licensed it originally in 2005, she didn't own it all. The company that did sold it in 2015. And then that group filed for bankruptcy and started selling off their brand. So she and her mom, who owned the company, were finally able to buy it completely. So now that she owns 100% of that, and she go look at her Instagram post. She like also details what she had to go through to get to this, but also like huge for her.
Jessica Simpson has been through a lot. I actually really want to read her autobiography.
Yeah, she's also somebody who's been reframed recently.
Yeah.
And can we say fuck John Mayer? Fuck John Mayer.
You have to.
A lot of things.
John Mayer.
Yeah. Fuck John Mayer. I mean, even Paris getting married, like, she's married at 40. And, you know, Paris Hilton, you know, she's an icon in her own way. But, like, for her, like, getting to marriage with, like, a guy who she seems to really like after being engaged four times is, like, an expression of her own power and, like, how she chooses to have her future. And, like, that really is the story of these news headlines, is that all of these women are got their power back, like, on the same day.
Totally.
And all the ways that men try to take away power from women, they all got it back. And it's just so lovely.
And it's crazy. It feels like the culmination of this kind of, I know a lot of women our age who were, like, young and looked up to these other women. Because I would, you know, mm-hmm. like, well, Taylor's, like, right our age, but, like, Taylor and Adele are our age, but, like, Britney, Paris, Lindsay, Jessica, like, they were, like, we looked up to them. They were, like, the adult girls, like, young women that we looked up to. They were, like, 10 years older than us, et cetera. So I know for me, obviously, this past couple of years has been this enormous feminist education in the world, right?
Yeah.
And it made me reexamine, like, all of the fucking disgusting bile that I was fed by the media about different women. And it made me reexamine how I thought about literally every single one of these people, because I was definitely someone who fed into, and I've said this many times, but I fed into the, like, Britney's crazy.
Me too.
Taylor's crazy. She writes about her boyfriends too much. Britney's dumb. Like, Jessica Simpson's also dumb. They're all slutty, da da da. And I just, like, took all of that in for so long.
Me too. I think 100%. We all did. I mean, that also is, like, you know, 10 years ago, we were hesitant. You know, I don't know if this goes for everyone, but, like, I myself was hesitant to be like, I'm a feminist, loud and proud. It was like, no, I believe everyone should be equal. That's not a feminist. Like,
I'm a humanist.
You know, yeah, exactly. Like, I completely agree with you. Like, we were fed narratives about these women, and, like, to believe that, you know, you also saw it with, like, when they would gain weight and lose weight, and that really affected, like, I mean, me personally, tons of women.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm hardly alone in that. Like, the way that the media treated these women and ultimately what they took away from them with the stories that the media narrated about them is so, like, I can't even believe, or I can believe, but I regret that I was, like, part of pushing those narratives. Like, obviously, we were, like, I remember watching Taylor perform Mean at the Grammys and being like, oh, my God, like, we're so mean to Taylor. She must hate us. Like, but she was so annoying at the time.
I know. But remember when, like, everybody took Kanye's side? Or, like, a lot of people
because they had that recording, the Kim release.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
No, and I fed into so much of, and it's really interesting because I've been thinking about it a lot with Taylor Swift, because I've been, like, very much in Red, and Red came out when I first moved to New York, and so I was, like, very nostalgic in general. But it's so funny because I love the album Red. I listened to that album and a lot. But if you talked to me about Taylor Swift at that time, I would have been like, love her music, but she's annoying.
Same. That was literally
love her music, like, but she's annoying. And the thing is, if I look back and I'm like, I'm going to say something that sounds so, like, it's a funny thing to say, but the things that I hated about Taylor Swift at that time were things that I hated about myself.
Yes, like, babe, me too.
And it's that I was like, oh, she likes boys too much and she's too emotional. Meanwhile, I'm in my room crying over some improv potato that I'm in love with from my class.
No, Aaliyah, you're so right. Like, I actually had that thought while I was watching Miss Americana, like, 2 years ago or whatever, or a year, whatever that was. Like, that was the exact thought I was having. Like, I feel like I was like Taylor when she was like herself. Like, when she was doing all that, like, bullshit squad shit, I was, like, criticizing that while at the same time being, like, so deep and proud of my own squad and thinking that, like, made 100%. Me superior. Like, why was
100%.
And almost because we were born the same, like, I was born 1989. We're all around the same age. Like, I really felt like I was going through those changes while she was, but I was too blind to see that I was like the same. Like I was also getting so much security from like my friends and like, mm-hmm. you know, desperate for boys who were like, who you knew for a minute. And like,
yeah, well, yeah. Everybody hates themselves in their early 20s. When you look back at your early mid 20s, we all cringe. So of course it's no wonder we were like cringing at her and we were constantly weighing like what we would have done and how, like just judging every single thing that
she was also, she was also not like willing to get political at the time. And then we also got more political and she did as well. Like it took her obviously like a thing a little longer because she had so many more factors to consider. But like, I really do feel like such a kinship with the evolution that she went through. And I feel like I really went through the same.
I feel like that's why this like re-release was so unexpectedly emotional because like, it's like Sam and I were, it's like a nostalgia for like the deep sadness that like you would, you know, feel when some improv potato goes to you. And it's just sort of like a nostalgia. It's like, oh, thank God I'm not there anymore. But like that poor girl. And
like checking your phone, seeing how long it's been since the answer, like all that shit, like is the stuff of her songs.
Yeah, and it was just so, it was interesting because I watched her interview on Seth Meyers talking about the re-release and like talking about herself as a 31-year-old woman going back and doing it herself. And she was saying like, it's actually way better this time because the last time I released this album, I was actually sad about all of these things on the album. And like, I was really fucking going through it. And so like, I was doing all these interviews about the album and like getting bummed out and feeling really shitty and like having all this self-doubt and like it was crazy. Like I was like, you know, it came from a real place. So she's like, so it's nice to be able to go back and now just do all the interviews and talk about the music and be removed from what had happened.
I can also completely relate to that. Like I remember like early on in like Betches when we were like first seeing like success and getting like press write-ups or doing like interviews or whatever, I remember thinking like, oh my god, this is like it. But then I would go home between things and like cry over some thing, you know, like just it was the same like early 20s, like lost, you know, nothing can really, you know, everything was tainted by like your sad emotions.
Yeah. And I think one of the other things that like I would have said about Taylor is like, oh, she like seems like a try hard or whatever. But it's like I was trying
before my, that word.
We were trying.
I was trying my heart at the time where I couldn't have been trying harder like to do this thing and meet people and be friends and be cool and get into comedy and all this stuff. So it's like, it really is.
It was
like,
almost like she was outing us at the time. It was like, yeah, no, and don't I couldn't. Tell these boys. I was like, we're no. so obsessed with them. Yeah, we're no. not like that.
The fact that she's able to harness that emotion is like, and put it into the most beautiful lyrics with the most, the way she sings them, like, I
know.
I'm in love. Like, I'm in love.
Yeah, I don't think I ever bothered. I don't think I ever bothered to like even read the lyrics.
Oh my God.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
As we're talking, I wonder if there's something about the reason that this set of stories feels so cathartic is because they almost like, they almost absolve us too, because we all played a role in the narratives that did that to Britney. We all played a role in the narratives that made Taylor Swift for a period such a punching bag. We played into those narratives. with Paris Hilton. And now we're sort of like, whew, okay. Like,
well, we were like,
I'm not
18.
Guilty anymore. Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, what is an 18-year-old that
patriarchal narratives as well?
They're patriarchal, but it's not like, okay, let's say we were like 18, 20 around this time, whatever, 20, you know, around that age. But that was after 20 years of being fed media narratives of the, it's not like, oh, it just popped up one day, like we're going to treat Taylor Swift and Britney and all these women like shit. It was like the media narratives built from the 80s. Not you know, it wasn't like just happening.
I've thought so much about this too in terms of like comedy and like when I first started writing about pop culture and stuff, it's like, who were the role models that you were actually writing about pop culture from? It was Perez Hilton. Like, you were the model for success was this like super mean, like, even like I try to think back about all the pop cultural commentary I watched as a kid, and it's like these tabloids that I see on the side of a newsstand that are like, who looks like shit in a bikini? Da da da. Or Perez Hilton, who's literally circling pictures of people and being like, fat, ugly, whatever.
Cocaine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, even, and I'm not even saying that all of these things are necessarily bad, but you look at, like, I don't know, stuff like Tosh.0, the fashion police. Like,
totally.
Everything was about shitting on people and shitting on celebrities.
And if you didn't, people would shit on you.
Like, exactly. It's like Chris Crocker saying, leave Britney alone. Everyone was like, you're the stupidest person in the world for loving or caring about Britney Spears or for having an emotional reaction. And it's like, it was kind of this, I don't know, it's part of, and again, this is a show that I loved and still have much love for today, but like, it's that South Park comedy world of like, if someone's a celebrity, especially a female celebrity who's known as sexy in any way, she is a lamb for slaughter. You can say anything about her because she actually, like, she's hot and sexy. So you should be able to say whatever you want about her and, like, fuck her, da da da. And I think it took a really long time for me personally, probably till my mid 20s, to, like, really start getting that, like, bile and, like, gross stuff out of me, because that's what I was taught was how you talk about celebrities and women in power.
Honestly, it was the 2016 election. Like, that switched it.
I think,
like,
absolutely.
Like, I think that there's, I think that that is really where it switched. And that's why it took 5 years after that for these women to actually, like, get results. But no, Elise, like, I completely see your point that, like, this was what we were fed. And this is, like, what was, what you were supposed to, like, that was what we thought women should be judged by, because we were, grew up. You know, I was on Weight Watchers at age 12. Like, you know, so my life directly reflected those tabloids that were like, look who looks bad in their bikini.
Yeah.
And it's like,
Britney Spears,
that's being
2 months
reinforced
after birth,
from everywhere.
She looks terrible. Like,
yeah, like that's what's being reinforced everywhere. And like, my mom was the one who was like, put me on Weight Watchers, because she was like, this is the, you know, that was what she was told. You have to be thin. Like, it, yeah, this is just
because
how
it was telegraphed to you that, like, you will not be happy unless you are thin and unless you have all these, like, unless all the boys have crushes on you.
Which is why I almost feel like Taylor tried to build her, like, first half of her career on that. Like, if you notice, really, like, 2016 was sort of a switch for her with, like, Reputation. Like, it wasn't about her love life anymore. And maybe that was because she had that, like, Kanye thing, but I like almost forgot that people cared about her love life so much, because once I got into her, like, kind of like 1989 and after, like when she became like more of a serious artist. So I almost forgot that that was like what her first half of her career was about.
Yeah, it was just about like the boyfriends and all of like who's it about and da da da. And it's, I don't know. It's just been really, really interesting to like look back at all this stuff. And like even going back to the body stuff we were just talking about, like, so on the one hand, it's like, oh, you have to be on Weight Watchers to be thin. Right. But then if you get the body, which like I would say probably the ideal body of the early 2000s was Britney Spears.
Nicole Richie,
but like Britney, Jessica Simpson, if you get this body, then everyone is going to sexualize you every single second. you're going to be made into an idiot, dumb, skanky, whatever. Just where it's like, it's so sad because you look back at like interviews with young Britney and like, yes, she's always used to be very sexy in her music videos and all this stuff. But like these interviews with her, she's like the most innocent little thing.
She didn't choose to be sexy in her music videos. They created that image for her. Like, yeah. I don't think she was like, let me like wear as little as possible. Like they changed her voice. They were like, you should sing in this register because it sounds more like,
well, this cute. Is, and like, I think baby-ish. This is why, yeah, this is why this moment is so gratifying, because with all of these stories, you can trace the origins of these women's like pain and like agony to men. Like Jessica Simpson was manipulated by capitalists to basically not own her name. Britney Spears' dad did this to her in a system that is based in a lot of patriarchy and paternalism. It was able to get control of her life. Taylor Swift, I mean, all of the, like, everything we've been talking about comes from a place of hating women and misogyny. Mm-hmm. So to see these, like, the rejection of this, I feel like this comes from the past couple of years. I think you're right, Sammy, like, since the Trump administration. Like, the New York Times documentary about Britney is specifically called Reframing Britney Spears. But, like, there's been, you know, there's been, like, Jessica Simpson's, like, biography. Like, finally, we're seeing all the things.
Paris Hilton's documentary, too.
It's almost like the true crime genre has, like, has expanded to everything, where everybody is skeptical about everything and everyone's convinced there's this conspiracy with everything, which is good and bad. But it's, like, sometimes there are.
Well, another piece of this I actually think was, like, social media, particularly Instagram, because also Instagram blew up, like, 2014, 2015. Really, celebrities started getting personal on Instagram, like, the 2017s, I would say. Like, they weren't, like, the same as they are now, where they use it to control their image. So prior to that, it was all tabloids, press releases, publicists. The narratives were not driven by the celebrities. They were driven by the media, like, the pop culture media. And so that, I think, was also a huge factor in that you were just kind of at the mercy of, like, these editors or these bloggers. Like, you couldn't release your own state. Like, you could release a statement, but it wasn't, like, notes app apology.
It was up to them whether or not they were going to cover it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you couldn't go live on Instagram and be like, this is my thing. And, like, even if, I don't know, like, you can see a celebrity cry as a result of their comments. Like, Lizzo has posted being like, I'm really down about stuff people has said about me. And it, like, teaches you that, like, these people do see this stuff and it does hurt them. And I think we kind of grew up in this world of, like, you can say whatever you want about celebrities because they're celebrities and they have money and they have power. So you can say whatever you want about them and fuck them. And, like, especially if they're women, like, just you can say anything about them. And now it's like, no, they're humans and they've shown us their human side, some of them. And, like, we're just rethinking how we've treated them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I think it's long overdue. And if I were a man, I'd be a little nervous about this, but I don't know if they realize that. I think they don't get it. But yeah, that's their fault.
I know sometimes part of this, I've genuinely been thinking, like, I kind of feel bad for Jake Gyllenhaal. Like, I worry that people are going to attack him.
I feel a little bad for Jake
Gyllenhaal. And I just try to think about, like, I don't know, I've just been, like, consuming a lot of Monica Lewinsky content, and she's very anti-bullying. And so I'm like, this is not... He's become so hated that I think any moment now he will announce his run for the Republican nomination for president.
I'm not, like, looking at this like, oh my God, Jake Gyllenhaal definitely was so bad. Like, maybe.
No. Just insert any hot guy you dated in for 3 months in your early 20s. And we all have that guy.
Yeah, I think that Jake Gyllenhaal was kind of a dick. But I don't think that I think he should have gone to her birthday. I don't think he should have dropped her hand at the party. I think, like,
give her scarf
back.
But if
he had known that, he'd be regretting 10 years later. Like.
I think that, like, you know, whatever. Like, you're dating an artist. You're dating a singer-songwriter. Maybe you as the 30-year-old man who was dating her didn't realize that you were dating an artist and a singer-songwriter, but that's what happened. I don't think that Taylor's presenting him as a monster in any way.
Not
I think she
all.
Has a right to, like, her experiences and to write about them because they were formative.
Exactly. Yeah, like, singer songwriter is a drama queen. Like, you have to have a flair for the dramatic to have that.
Musicians
anyway.
Are very intense humans.
Yeah, they're like, very over dramatic.
Yeah.
I have seen people also at the point that Red came out, Taylor was already known for writing about her relationships. So, like, he knew what he was getting into. Whatever. They had a shitty older guy, young girl relationship. I felt very connected to the 10-minute music video because right around that time, I also went upstate with an older man who he didn't drop my hand, but dropping a hand like things occurred. So I felt very vindicated
Small
by the
betrayals.
Video. But at the same time, it's like, it's not, you know, she's not. He's not canceled. She's not, it's not a Me Too situation that happened here. Like,
that's why it's like bothersome to me that like these people are going so crazy on his, like, his Instagram. Like, relax. It's a joke. Like, it's one thing to joke about the scarf in a meme. It's a total other to be like, what did you do to Taylor? It's like, she's fine. She's very clearly fine.
Yeah. Oh, she's it's not like he's not an abuser. You know what I mean? He was like a shitty guy who dated a younger girl and was mean to her. And it's like, that's shitty. But also, it's not like he dated her. Like, she was 21.
Maybe
he
we're only minimizing
this. Like, in
his
30s. Like,
okay, maybe we're only minimizing this because of, like, internalized sexism. Like, maybe it wouldn't be minimized if we're talking about, like, a sort of comparable thing.
I mean, I think we could do a whole other episode about how I do think that ghosting women is a sexist act.
Well, I think that if Taylor was coming out and acting, like, if Taylor came out and was like, Jake Gyllenhaal is my abuser and da-da-da, I would feel differently. But Taylor seems like she's just revisiting a time in her life and a messy relationship that she had, and she's making art out of it just did at the time. And you can certainly judge Jake Gyllenhaal, but I don't think that we need to take him down.
right.
Yeah. I think he's like, oh, he's still like,
we don't need,
you know, allowed in polite
for an
society.
Yeah.
I did see on Duma that somebody said that they saw Jake and Maggie and they seem to be doing fine. So
I think he's allowed to be doing fine. Like, I think it's okay. I don't think that Taylor wants him ruined, dead, done. That's not the vibe that I got.
How much would the internet break if they, like, podcasted together or something?
I mean, I'd be listening to that the moment it dropped.
Yes.
It would break. Well, that is our show today. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.